Women's Shear, Wednesday, Chayvus Halbavus, Shara Bitochon, Wednesday, Mar Cheshvan 5, October 9, Shara Bitochon. Okay, we're learning Chayvus Halbavus, Shara Bitochon, we're in Paragimel. We're up to the third of five premises, the third of five ideas that you have to internalize in order to acquire, to develop Midas HaBitachon. The first was to be convinced that the seven things of Perek Sheni are all true about Hashem. The second was, and really we said it's interesting that the second one is not really directly related to Bitachon, but these are five things you have to have in order to acquire Bitachon. And then it says, oh, it makes a lot of sense. Number two was to realize that Hashem knows not just what you've said, Hashem knows what's in our minds, meaning Hashem knows our motivations, our subconscious, our, you know, the kind of thing that we go to therapists for, that they, right? You sit there, what's the chokhmah therapy is that, I mean, the very, you know, you sit there and you're supposed to be relaxed and hopefully you don't fall asleep. All of a sudden you say, wow, and you talk enough, you say, oh, I'm motivated because I want my father to hold of me, or I'm motivated because I am resentful of my older brother or sister, or I don't, a whole gamut of human emotions that we're not really aware of. So the chokhmah, the good part of psychoanalysis is that there are things, a person is many times in emotional turmoil and doesn't know why, and doesn't know what lies behind it. The Bissel Salanta talks about it a lot, and it's interesting that he lived basically in that tekufa. So that's the second thing, is that Hashem knows what your motivations are, and you know, sometimes we don't want to admit it to ourselves. The reason that's it's interesting is that it doesn't directly relate to Bitachon, but it does, because then you can't just pay lip service to it. You realize that Hashem knows whether you're relying on Him or whether you're just, you know, scrunching up your eyes and saying Tehillim very loudly or whatever the case may be. He knows if you're really having Bitachon in Him. So you won't, this is the point of the Chayvus Halbavus, you won't be Kone Bitachon unless you realize that, because then you'll keep struggling and working to make sure you have it, because can you trust yourself? So you'll say, well, when do you ever know you've reached it? So one answer is maybe you don't. And another answer is, you know, until you reach that highest madrega of the seventh perek that we talked about here, Sukkos at night, that you're like living with Hashem, you have not reached the ultimate in Bitachon. I won't talk about it now, we'll see. But the best average litmus test is if you're nervous. That's the best test. If you're stressed or nervous or worried or anxious, then you know you're not having Bitachon. Or maybe you're less anxious than you were a year ago, so that's good. It means you're going in the right direction. But that would be like the average person's litmus test about Bitachon. But the point of number two is that you'll keep working on yourself, because you realize that buried deep down, Hashem knows. Your friend doesn't know, your spouse doesn't know, nobody knows. Sometimes you don't even know. So that's number two. Number three we're up to. V'hagdama hashlishis is the singularity of Bitachon in Hashem. And that's hard, because even if a person has Bitachon, but then the eye is the doctor, and it's very hard to stay focused. Again, maybe it's lip service. It's hard to stay focused that the doctor is just a shliach of Hashem. We usually violate what the Chayvus Halbavus here is talking about, that we shear bitachon. We say, well, I'm relying on the doctor. We don't verbalize it this way, but this is in effect what it is. I'm relying on the doctor. I have a wonderful doctor. And if that doesn't work, so I always have Hashem as a fallback physician. Right, it's funny, but we live that way. many of us. Or we call bitachon into play when we don't see another way out. I'm looking for a parking spot already for 45 minutes. I'm in New York City. So now I guess I am. No way, so I have to have bitachon. No way. I have to daven. Right? And really, the way to develop bitachon, I mean, this is not because of others, I'm just saying like that, is to use it when things are going well. And say, okay, you know, I woke up this morning and I accomplished such and such. Thank you, Hashem. It's only because Hashem allowed me to accomplish it. It's only because everything worked and I have to rely on Hashem to get through the day or to be able to accomplish anything. And you think these thoughts, when things are going well, then you can have a fighting chance that it should be real and it should be real when you call it up because you're desperate. So the third hakdama is that bitachon means only in Hashem. Bal yishatei zuloso imo, not Hashem and the doctor, Hashem and the boss, Hashem and the bank account. Biyiftach olav oal echad mehabruim. And that the degree to which you have bitachon in anyone else takes away from your bitachon in Hashem. So even you're being mishatei someone else with him. And now he brings down a story, and it's kedai if we're going to delve into the story a little, because I think it teaches us things. What's the story? The story is King Asa. Big Tzaddik, tremendous Tzaddik, and Malchus Yehuda, a descendant of David HaMelech, and he was good, a Tzaddik, a great guy. What happened at the end of his life? He got sick. We'll learn why he got sick, because it's very instructive. He got ill. I don't want to say anything, but he got sick. His feet were getting in trouble. But Yadat the Mashanem, in Chasiduso, with all of his Tzitkus and Chasidus, Ace Shesamach al Harofe. Now you have to understand, the Chavis Halvavus is using Asa, obviously from the context, we see that the Chavis Halvavus is learning, you can be sure that Asa davened, and he said Rufo'enu, and he even said the Ratzon, and Hashem, Hashem, help me, save me. But yet the Pasuk says, the Chsiv and Divrei Hayomim, the Gam B'chol Yolo Doresh Es Hashem Ki Barofe. Now we'll see what Begam means, because I'll tell you the whole story, an interesting story, and you'll see what Begam means. And the Chavis HaLavavus is, I think the Pshat Chavis HaLavavus is that he's assuming Asa, the Tzaddik, has been talking in Hashem also, and yet that's what the Chavis HaLavavus' point is. If you don't have been talking in Hashem only, then you're not really having been talking in Hashem, and it's not really been talking. It's not you're doing half. So therefore the Pasuk speaks very harshly and says, Hashem, rather in the doctors. And he was punished. Meaning that's it. That's the only thing you're relying on. And really, if you think about it, that's again only logical, it's real. There is only Hashem. Hashem is responsible for any of the channels which he uses to send you something. Now I want to tell you the story of Asa. It's in Divrei Hayomim more than Malachim, although it's repeated, but Malachim is very sparse and Divrei Hayomim tells the full story. I feel the story starts when Asa had a problem that Basha, who was Melech Yisrael, who was obviously a man's name in those days, Basha Melech Yisrael, went to war against Asa Melech Yehuda, and he took as an ally Melech Aram. So Asa took all of the treasures, the Pasuk says in Divrei Hayomim, he took the treasures of the Beis HaMikdash and the treasures of his father's house, the treasures of the king treasures, and he sent it to Hadad Melech Aram, and he said, here's all this money, break the treaty with Basha and come over to my side. So Ben Hadad never wanted to piss up. He hates all the Jews. But if he has a chance to earn some money and temporarily be against some of the Jews, that's wonderful.
So he takes the money and he actually attacks and he goes to war against Basha Melech Yisrael, and he's successful. And it lists the siege that Basha was making against Asa. So it was successful. So that's wrong, right? If they stop here, did Asa do anything wrong? No. Perfectly normal. What did he do? Right? So the Novi, Hanoni Horoe, Horoe is the seer. If you ever see that word for prophet, S-E-E-R. It's a seer, someone who sees. So the seer, Hanoni, and it comes from Horoe, because in the earlier years, a Novi was called Horoe more than a Novi. That's another discussion. He comes to Asa, and he says, you relied on Melech Haram. Explain. You relied on Melech Haram, on that guy who hates you, and he hates Lashi, he hates everyone. Lo nishanta l'Hashem elokecha. Al kein, look what happened. Now Aram is doing fine. If you would have had the tafan in Hashem, and you would have went to war against Basha and Aram, you would have been victorious. You would have destroyed an enemy of the Jewish people, because Aram always was around to fight everybody. In the future, Aram is a thorn on the side of Israel. So you left him alive and kicking and well and rich. What would you do? If you would have had bitachon, you would have. So you say, is that really? We're all thinking. And he did a pretty normal tactic. And this is very important, the lessons we learned from this. Now the Novi refers to an earlier story. An earlier story is that the Goyim got together. I know it sounds like a. Story. The Goyim get together to attack Israel. With Israel to go over Palestinian lands, Mishkama, that's one. And they get together, and the numbers are overwhelming. I mean, a bunch of nations get together, the Kushim and the Lubim, and there were millions of them. An earlier parak says the numbers, and Asa had 300,000 people, and another 280,000. And they came with. So Asa goes to Milchama against the Kusim. Kushim. And Vayikra Asa al Hashem Elokav. Vayomer Hashem. Einim Cholazor Ben Rav Le'en Kolach. No difference to you when you, right, when you realize that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's always responsible. Not just when I'm strong, I'm strong. When I'm weak, so okay, please Hashem help me. But it's always up to Hashem. And to Hashem, there's no difference. If there's a million people, or 100 people, or 10,000 people, no difference. The Mambam says a beautiful thing, not here, but in a different part of Tanakh, by Yehonasan, that when we pick up a 5-pound package, and we pick up a 10-pound package, even if we can pick up both packages, but we exert more koach when we pick up the 10-pound package than when we pick up the 5-pound package. By Hashem, those are things. He's not exerting himself more when he does an ace or an ace mistor or teva or anything. He's not exerting himself more. Hashem is Hashem. So you can help us. Ozreinu Hashem Elokeinu ki alecha nishanu u'b'shimcha bonu al haman hazeh Hashem Elokeinu ato al yatsurim kohenosh, and he beats them like the Six-Day War. Millions of soldiers just totally victorious. So the Navi refers to that and says, hey, we have here history. We have a track record. We have history. Halavar kushe ba'lubim ho'yil l'chayil l'rol l'rech l'chayil 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 u'bihishon chayil Hashem. You went through this already. You relied on Hashem. The son of Yodecha. What are you foolish? Now, why did he do that so foolish? Anybody would say he did a very normal military tactic. No. It was foolish because, as the Farshim explained, first of all, he gave away. We need to draw the line of Hishtatlis. We're going to be learning about Hishtatlis. But certainly, if we all, I can say that now, if it creates a dysfunctionality, let's say you want another job because you need more money, and you want to know if that's the proper bound of Hishtatlis, and you come to Rabbi Malinowitz, if that'll make your household somewhat dysfunctional, then you know you've crossed the red line. And Hashem, you are Hashem, and Hashem has a way to make you be Matzliach, and have money without that. You know you've gone beyond the lines of ishtadlus when you create a dysfunctional household. That's a pretty safe statement. When what you're doing, and in your mind it's ishtadlus, but it's dysfunctional. If someone goes to America for parnasa, I wouldn't say automatically that's like beyond the bounds of ishtadlus. It's pretty acceptable, it's normal. But if they would come and tell me that it creates problems in the house, then I'd say, you're not having bitachon. I'd say, but I'm doing ishtadlus. You're not doing ishtadlus. The ishtadlus Hashem wants from you does not create dysfunctional families, does not create a dysfunctional household. It can't be. So the Navi was telling Asa, first of all, we have a past story there. You didn't have to buy off anyone, and it was more overwhelming odds than now. Second of all, you let an enemy of Israel, right? This is when, like, I don't know, when Ronald Reagan let the PLO get out of, Lebanon, they were in Beirut, and he let them go because President Reagan demanded Begin, who was good. But when Reagan turned the screws and put on the pressure and said, you better let them go, and look how we're suffering from it today. And that's what Asa did. He let Aaron go. And they suffered from it 10 years later, 20 years later, 30 years later. Look how we're suffering. He had Bacar tend to snuff them out like nothing. They totally trapped. So that's called dysfunctional. You don't do that. Hashtadlus doesn't say you let your enemy who sworn to kill you, you let him go. Because someone's putting pressure on you and your ally is to be mad at you, your so-called ally now, Baruch Hashem. I assume everybody understands it's not even an ally of ours. But if it was, so what? The talking Hashem does not have you do something that's dysfunctional or wrong or inappropriate. There's no gay in a job. The boss wants you to do certain things and it's usher or inappropriate even. That can't be ishtadlus. We'll learn that when we get to ishtadlus. My point is that's what the Navi was telling us. Fool! You had a perfect example of it happening once before, so it's not like you didn't even think of it. You gave away your treasures. You gave away the Beis Hamikdash's treasures. And you let a sworn enemy of Israel live. Tomorrow he's going to go fight you. So you didn't have bitachon. Even though anybody else, if you take the story into context, would say it was a normal military tactic. And certainly you're supposed to do military tactics. But the Navi says, no, it's not. It was a lack of bitachon. A normal military tactic means you understand this ishtadlus. Your bitachon in Hashem is unsullied, unflawed. And because if the ishtadlus ruins the bitachon, then we have what Chazal is talking about in number three. Because you have a bitachon in Hashem and in your capabilities. It's very hard to do proper ishtadlus. Tremendously difficult because you have to do it and say what I'm doing is meaningless. The only meaningfulness it has is, now, on the other hand, on one hand, ishtadlus is wonderful. Why? Because it makes the most mundane act into a mitzvah. I am doing ishtadlus because that's what Hashem wants me to do. I'm fulfilling the ratzon Hashem. It's not helping me reach my goal. It's not helping me reach my goal. And, you know, do you believe that? It's not helping me reach my goal. Except if I don't do it, then I'm violating Hashem's will, and then I'm in trouble. It could be I'm in trouble for violating Hashem's will. So you walk the tightrope. Because it can't make us think, it can't have us lessen, L-E-S-S-E-N, it can't have us lessen our bitachon, our reliance on Hashem and only Hashem, but we have to do it. Asa failed. And the Navi goes to him, and Asa could have said, ishtadlus? No. Well, first of all, what happened? The last one was no ishtadlus, and it was much more overwhelming odds, and you beat them hands down. So like, what happened? Number one, you gave away the money of the Beis Hamikdash. Number two, you gave away Malchus Yehuda's money. Number four, you let an enemy of Israel escape, and he's still your enemy. So don't tell me ishtadlus. You have all these dysfunctional totsahos that happened. That's what I believe is the pshat here in the pasuk. And Asa was punished. And the punishment was he got a wound on his foot. And that's what can I do? He did, you know. And then that's where it says, now you understand, Begam That's what I'm convinced that that's what the word v'gam means. V'gam b'chol yolo dorash as Hashem ki barofim. What's the v'gam? Because that's what just happened. That's what he was punished for. So his tikkun would have been to fully rely on Hashem. Could he have called the doctor? Yeah, he could have. So, how did the Chavis Halvavos know that that's the trap? Chavis Halvavos comes from the other way. From the pasuk, you read the pasuk, it sounds like he didn't have it. He didn't say Rufa'enu, he didn't say the Yerotzen, he didn't have a Mishaberach when he had an Aliyah. That's what it sounds from the pasuk. But it's not. First of all, it makes no sense that Asa would have done that. And second of all, then the Chavis Halvavos wouldn't bring it down in this principle. Because the principle is to only rely on Hashem. So you don't bring down a pasuk that means he didn't rely on Hashem at all. What kind of a proof is that? Teretz is the word begam, because begam means, let's go back to this five psukim before that, when you have the story of the Mochama. So, and the Navi said, your bitachon is flawed. Why don't you have bitachon? So he, very hard with a doctor, you know, and I'm going to bring it up, and it's going to become a whole discussion, and it's a tough issue. Why do we have to have the best doctor? Our bitachon is, and Jews always want the best doctor. Jews won't settle for the second best doctor. If I need a band-aid put on, I need the best. I'm going to call up Eli Melech for you, and he's going to tell me the best doctor to put on a band-aid. I don't want the second best doctor. Now, many times, perhaps most times, if there's a significant difference in the competence of the doctor, sometimes you need a diagnosis. And I know from cars, you need a really good mechanic to give a good diagnosis, or you'll replace the starter, and you'll replace the carburetor, and you'll replace the battery, and you'll replace half the car, and you still have a problem. Because the guy doesn't hop what it is, because sometimes it's not pushing. So in Muncie, I had to go all the way to Nanuet to Bob. Bob was like the mumche in diagnosing what's wrong with the car. And go, you know, Monty, you had to go all the way to that, not Nanuet, I'm sorry, all the way to Suffern. Deep into Suffern to go to Bob. There was John, there was Harry, there was all my usual mechanics, Mickey, you know, mechanics. But you had to go to Bob. So sometimes it is justified, and you only because of the gedorim of hishtavlos it's justified. Because just, you know, sometimes hishtavlos is mechayev, but you have to be very careful. But if you just arbitrarily want the best doctor, my Nehemiah once needed the what comes out of you sometimes?
Hernia.
Call up Benny Fisher. What are you Benny Fisher for? Yeah, hernia operation. It's not like rocket science. You know, you stuff it back in. That's all. I don't know. Sew it up. Pull out again. I'm oversimplifying, but really, we have to ask ourselves. And maybe this is a bitachon because we're not perfect. Because bitachon is a lifelong thing. But that's, you know, you have to ask yourself, where am I holding, and why do I need the best doctor for? So I don't want to get in. Sometimes you do. No, you never do. Sometimes proper hishtadlus is going to an expert, a super duper expert, because of diagnosis, or he's aware of the latest advances in the field. And no one says a doctor, for example, shouldn't keep up in his reading material with the a doctor has an achrayus to subscribe to. I have a friend, a doctor, he's getting like, I don't know when he has time to read it. But he's getting all these magazines and it's all describing different advances in every field. And it's always been pateach nowadays. And you go, now you can go online, follow the hitpakut of anything there online. The doctor knows what's shtusim and what's not shtusim, by the way. Unfortunately, laymen do it and then they start lecturing the doctor. But, this is what we struggle with. We struggle with the principle number three of the Chavis Halvavos. It's only Hashem, and the doctor is a shliach, and we have to realize what the word shliach means. And once it's not hishtadlus necessarily, and that's something not easy to define. I'll admit it, not easy to define. It's very hard. It can be, I don't know, subjective, but sometimes it's hard to pinpoint where that line is. We go beyond the shtaklus. I'm saying like, there's a few things in formula. We could look at also maybe. If you had a, you had to spend too much money. I don't know. You have to ask for shayla. Everything's a shayla. Like the bottom, that's what the Fetch of Allah is bringing from Asa. And that means he understood the pasuk. Of course he doubted, and of course he had bitachon in Hashem, but he had bitachon in the doctors also. And Adrabah, if since that's the case, as I said, because that's logical, and otherwise Chavruah wouldn't have brought it, but the Torah speaks so harshly, that's because that's the point of the principle. That you're not having bitachon in Hashem if you're relying on Hashem and your protection. You're relying on Hashem and your cleverness. You're relying on Hashem and the doctor. You're relying on Hashem and the promise that was made to you. You should always look at it as a channel. The word, the operative word is, that is Hashem's channel. Think of Hashem as being in the marionette theater and he's pulling the strings and you're just dealing with the puppets. But you realize that there's always strings and Hashem is on top of the air, manipulating the puppets.
Can
the
same be applied to Yosef the Tzaddik?
Maybe. It's speculation. The Sforim talk about that. And we don't know. Poor Yosef. He made one mistake, and there's so many explanations of his mistake that he did like 1,000 things wrong by the time everybody's finished with him. Because everybody has their own shot what he did wrong. My father-in-law's father, Olam HaShalom, he said that in his sefer that Yosef was miyayish from a Yeshua for the next 3 days. And he was staying in jail for the next 3 days. That's not true. You have to be talking to Hashem. Hashem can take you out today. Why are you like? Why are you accepting jail for the next 3 days? Because you think that that's the way Hashem's going to. You don't know how Hashem's going to do it. So Teretz is the. Yeah, the Yosef. He had bitachon in the Sarah Mashkin, because and that's going to first happen 3 days from now. But if it's Hashem, so I want to get out in the next 60 seconds. Why should I wait 3 days for? That's what he says. Okay, it could be pshat. You know, as I say, when we speculate, they end up nebuch for Yosef. He did one thing wrong, but we have 100 things wrong. Because every sefer has the same pshat. Okay, it's very possible that what you said is so. So the Chavir of Avos understands that positive. He's saying that's it. You're only miftacho is like a noun. I do the pa'ula, the verb of having been talking to Hashem. Vayashem miftacho is a noun, meaning that's my only leading post. Umina yadua. Just think about it. Let's say I say, who's going to set up the lights for Shabbos? Ari Stern and Jonathan Sasson. Two people. So I'm not going to rely on either of them fully, because there's always the other one. There's always plan B. So my bitachon in one won't be complete, because I think there's a plan B. So my bitachon and my appointment is flawed, because there's part of me saying, and if not, so I have another plan. This is a huge flaw in it. You know, again, bitachon is something we work on. We're not holding by it. We struggle with, but it's a flaw, a definite flaw in bitachon. Wow! And then he says, "The is a hasiba chazaka limona mimenu mashabat achalav." Unfortunately, sometimes Hashem, as we saw in the Hakidama to Shara Bitachon way back when, not so long ago actually, but your best way of bitachon does not promise you results, but it happens to be, as the Chazaka says, it's not a guarantee of results. But it's your best chance to get good results. Not only is good results what you think, so the results will always be good, but it's your best bet to get the results that you want, and Hashem could maneuver to make it good. But here, Hashem has to show you that you did something wrong, and therefore it's a sibul lihimona mimenu mashabotachal. Wow, it could be self-defeating. You shot yourself in the foot. By having bitachon in someone else also, you lost the job. You lost the raise. You lost the friend. You lost whatever you lost, because Hashem wants to show you that your bitachon was flawed. That your bitachon in the other person was futile. Kmo she'nemar, or hagever sheyiftach ba'odom l'salbasol zroho, u'min Hashem yosru libo. Okay. Let's continue with the fourth thing. Number one was to realize that the seven things of Perek Beis are true about Hashem. Again, this is not lip service. You have to really believe these things deep down. Number two is that Hashem knows what you're thinking and Hashem knows what's in your kishkas. And number three is that bitachon is not a halfway thing. You can struggle with it and not be holding, but to be kona bitachon means full bitachon, only on Hashem. And everything else is a channel and a shliach from Hashem to carry out his gezeirah. For Ravi, now we come to Ravi, which we have to explain. Because the fourth one is that, and there's a machlokas about this. Chatzalvavas Ashita, and what I'm about to say, is not muskal by everyone. It's a machlokas, Rishonim. Although on a practical level, I don't think there's a machlokas. And now I'll explain what I'm talking about. Chatzalvavas is going to say that if you want Hashem to do for you, you have to make sure that your actions are good. You have to do for him. You have to be a good person. You have to serve him. You have to do mitzvahs. You can't just live the life of a Rasha, live the life of someone who's not doing the will of Hashem, and you expect Hashem to do your will. As I said many times, Kabbalah points to regular life to bring out ideas. If you're going to your uncle to ask him for a loan or for the down payment on the house, and there's a sign, don't walk through the tomato patch, and you walk through the tomato patch, and then it says, do not ring the bell between 2 and 3 p.m., and you ring the bell, and then you say, can I have a loan? You're going to say, what are you, nuts? That's how people would feel. Are you crazy? You walk through the tomato patch, you ring the bell, and it says, don't ring the bell, and now you're asking me for a favor? So, although we don't compete, the Lord does, throughout the Sefer, did Hashem the same way? Because I explained once at length that Hashem modeled human behavior so that we could learn from it. And Hashem is the same way. You're talking to me, well, I'm going to ABC, but you're doing XYZ. That's what the Chazal says. We're going to talk about that. Here's the problem. We're going to learn it. The problem that the Chazal was so busy saying so many times that the only way to have bitachon is to realize Hashem gives you things even if you don't deserve them. And he said that in the beginning in the Perek Aleph. And he repeated it in Perek Beis. He repeated it in Perek Gimel. And now all of a sudden he wakes up and he says, oh, by the way, you have to do what Hashem wants. Shetia hashbechoso chazoka, meaning you have to be careful about what you do. You have to be Ovid Hashem. You have to be doing mitzvahs. You can't do avodas willy nilly. The last old mitzvah also believes Zorma Yasher Hezeru Mimenu. If you want to feed Masher Huma Bakesh, Kedeshi Abore, Maskim Lo, the Masher Huma Teach Olubo, whatever your bitachon is functioning in. So, hey, like, what are you doing? So question one is, what did he mean when he stressed so much that bitachon is possible because Hashem does things to you even if you don't deserve it? That's one question. Another point is that there are Rishonim that are choylik. This is like the question, the heading, the kulteret of the question would be, can a Rosh have bitachon and have, meaning all of the ensuing results of having bitachon? For example, the Gro, I believe, or maybe quotes Rav Osro. It's the beginning of the Pasuk, I forget, it's with the Rosh, I believe. Rabotech Hashem Chesed Yisol Mevenu. Rabos Rose, something a Rosh suffered, but the Tech Hashem Chesed is all the better. So the girl learns it's one Hemshech, the Fasik. That Rosh, if he's Boteach Hashem, then Chesed is all the better. So there's arguments with the Chavis HaLavis. So why am I saying that? Because on a real level, I don't see an argument. Because if a person has, I don't understand really even, I'm not so sure what it means when Russia has Bitachon. If Bitachon knows all these great things, and all the seven things of Paravays, and you're aware of Hashem, and you're aware of Hashem's omnipotence, and you're aware that Hashem knows what you're thinking, and you know that Hashem is Kol Yachol, and you're like, you're so into Hashem, it's like, in the real world, how are you a Russia? Like, how can a Russia have Bitachon? But maybe the Chavis HaLavis is talking about a Russia who can't, who's a boomer of the Tayyamon, as it's called. He can't hold himself back. He has a taiva, he has a yitzhara, so he knows about Hashem and he is aware. But he can't, it's a taiva, it's a boomer of the Tayyamon. So it could be this Bahalmo Machlokas, it could be they're talking about. I don't know what it means, Russia has to be tougher. See, it doesn't bother. Just not bothered. Why not? But then when you realize what Bitachon is and how heavy it is and how much it connects you to Hashem and how you live with Hashem and you're aware of Hashem and aware of the seven things, and it's like, how can you be a person be a rush? Like someone doesn't work. Like, it's weird. So, I don't know, I'm not sure. Maybe it's Mumul Teyabon, and you just can't control yourself. You have a strong Yitzhahara. You're supposed to control yourself, but you can't. Well, the point of what are the Chavis HaLavis saying here? What about the idea that Hashem does for you even if you don't deserve it? He brings a Raya from a Mishnah in Avos, Moshom Rav Hussein, as a point of Mubracha, Asay Vitzono, Kiritzoncha, you want Hashem to do for you. You want things to. You want to be successful. You want it to click. You want it to work. So you do Hashem's will. Not that He needs you to do His will. But that's the system. Say Ritzono, Kiritzono, Kiddeshiyasu Ritzono, Kiritzono. Batal Ritzono, Mei Ritzono. Even further, Kiddeshiyabatal Ritzono, Achem Mei Ritzono. Vamar Akosu B'Tach Hashem Lasei Tov. So, V'omar Tov Hashem L'Kovo L'Nefesh Tidrashenu Abul Misha Yitzach Al-Aborei V'humamra also, and he rebels against Hashem. He does what he wants. He negates Hashem's will. So he's pretty foolish. Kabul Hussachol V'kama Daita Chalusha V'akaroso. It's pretty foolish. It's worse than also. It's foolish. You roe it, look at people, and again he points to people. You appoint someone to do something. Watch out for this, make sure you do that. The Yabaram Mitzvoso, if he doesn't listen to you, that's a darn good reason for you not. Comes to ask you for a favor, and you say, okay, you know, you just do this. And he says, no, I don't have time. So that's like a real good reason for me not to do you the favor. So that's the Chavis HaLavis. Kol Shkei Mishaover Al Chukei Elokim B'Mitzvosav Asher Yod V'Heil Aleihem Shetia Tocheles HaBoteach Olav Nichzava will be Kozei. Be disappointed, you really are not a Baal Bitachon, because you're not a Baal Bitachon if you're rebelling. So the answer is, I believe, a few answers. The key word is mamre, meaning you're doing your best. So when mamre means you're rebelling against Hashem, really what he's saying here is. If you're aware and you know, and you just, you know, either you can't control yourself, but you really could, or you don't want to control yourself, So then you can't expect bitachon is going to break down. It's a two-way street. What he's saying here in principle number four is that it's a two-way street. But it's only a two-way street if you're rebelling against Hashem. If you're doing your best, this is what I am. If you're doing your best, except, you know, we're human beings, so we're failing. You know, so we're not doing 100%. If you're doing your best, then we apply the rule Hashem. You can rely on Hashem even if you don't deserve it. Because you're doing your best. Here, his nakuda is your mamre. You're rebelling against Hashem, so you can't expect Hashem to be there for you if you reject him. The Chayyus HaLovas, when he talks about Hashem does for you even if you don't deserve it, he's not talking about you rejected Hashem. He's talking about you're a whole person and you're afraid Hashem is going to zap you because of the Lashon Hara you said yesterday, and you can't have any talk on that this job interview will work out or that you'll finish on time your assignment. So he says, no, yes you could. Hashem will give you things even if you don't deserve it. If you're trying your best, then you're doing your best. So you're not successful because you're human. So that's, and you're keeping to work on it. It all goes together. So that's what he means there. Here he says the word matra. You know, if you reject the mitzvah, if you reject Hashem, then you can't expect him to be there for you. Why are you there for you if you're not there for him? So to speak, it sounds childish, but that's what he's saying. He's saying Hashem, and by the way, other Rishonim are holy, as I said. This is a machlokes. This is not Muslim, what Chayyus HaLovas says. But we're learning Chayyus HaLovas, and he definitely says that, and you can see the logic in it. We saw back in the Hagdoma that many things are a result of your closeness to Hashem. The success of your bitachon, so to speak. What we think is success, what we like to anticipate, what we hope will happen, what we think is the best thing for us. So we say, please Hashem, make it happen. This is the best thing for me. To sit back and just say Hashem will do what's best for me, that is davening. So we have to understand what davening is. Davening ties into bitachon. It expresses bitachon in Hashem. But if you're rebelling against Hashem, no, it's not going to work. So that's what he said. That's principle number four. And I'm calling principle number four. If we do our best in avodas Hashem, then we can walk around with bitachon. And we can anticipate or rely on Hashem. Get me there in time. That it should work. That I shouldn't fall flat on my face. That it should, I should be capable of doing what was expected of me. And so on and so forth. That you can have when you're doing your best. When you're doing your best to do Hashem's will. But otherwise, why should he say so to speak? And that's what the Torah says. That's not, you're rebelling against him. So the other Rishonim explained it, that bitachon is a tremendous avodah. And if you can find me a Russian that's willing to have bitachon, okay. To me, it really doesn't make that much sense. That he should be a Rasha. But I guess you could have such a thing. Any moment that they are known, maybe you could example for that. But also what we're talking about. Okay, we'll stop there. I got that air conditioner going.